But one of the things that's helped me from not getting too trapped in our cultural models is that I do travel a great deal in other cultures. And in other cultures, I'm always surprised at how different the feelings are that are generated around variables. Like in India, when I went there last time, 2 years ago, one of my lovely old friends up in a village in the mountains said to me, "Ram Dass, you're looking so old." He said, "You're so gray." Now, at first, my reaction to that was my Western cultural reaction of, "Oh God, no, that's terrible." But then when I quieted down, I heard the tone with which he was saying it. He was saying it with great respect and delight. Like I had now become one of the elders of the society. And he was saying, "Wow, you've done it. You've grown old. How great." And what I have found is that after I live in places like Guatemala or Malaysia or Thailand or Burma or Italy or France or Spain or Polynesia, where there are extended families, where everybody has natural roles within the structure, and where old people are part of the families and the old and the young are wise fools together, and the whole thing is quite built in, then you come back to where this culture, where we have, quote, an aging problem. And I realize that we are gathered here because of our cultural pathology. That were it not for that, we wouldn't need this so much. Because in many cultures, this was all built in a natural way. And in our zeal to be independent, we have thrown away the baby with the bath a little bit. And we've ended up where we have alienated ourselves across generations instead of embracing ourselves across generations. Creating these kinds of supportive communities where the roles of elders are obvious and clear. In our society, of course, where technology moves so fast, we get outdated, so that the question of what wisdom elders have that is useful. I mean, I'm only at WordPerfect 5.0. And I realize now that I already can't talk the language of my friend's 12-year-old son. And I moved from a typewriter to a computer, and I kept saying to myself, old dogs can learn new tricks, old dogs can learn new tricks, old dogs can learn new tricks, and I put it over my computer. But I don't know how many more old tricks I'm gonna learn, and I may just decide to be outdated. But I think that we have to recognize that we are living in a system that has gotten out of balance, in which the zeal for independence and individuality has left us alienated from the structures, not only of family and community, but from nature, from recognizing our identity as part of biotic communities and part of other things, that all of which give an intuitive, innate meaning to aging. And they give you a feeling of the appropriateness of the place. Most of us live in urban areas where we are living almost totally surrounded by the projections of the human mind. And very rarely are we living so close to nature and earth that we are experiencing in our blood and our being the cycles of cold and warm, of leaves falling, of the feelings of nature, of death, of birth, of aging. And it's a harsh reality at one level, and it's the horrible beauty of the wisdom of nature that we often have shielded ourselves from, and in that shielding we have lost something because we've been afraid to look at the nature of aging and death. Robert Kestenbaum says, "The limitations and distortions of our core vision of what it means to be a person in our culture become starkly evident in old age. If to be an old person is to suffer abandonment, disappointment, and humiliation, this is not a geriatric problem. It is the disproof of our whole shaky pudding, technology, science, and all. If our old people are empty, our vision of life is empty."